In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and my co-hosts on today, Minister Robert Walker and Minister Ryan Fountain. We're glad to be here on today. We thank God that we're here on another session to bring you the Word of God. And that's what we definitely endeavor to do, is to do just what we're saying, and that is to tell the truth. That's why this ministry is called Truth Ministry. Like Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And He also says, if you are my disciples, you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And St. John 8:32, and He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we got to have truth today. And we know the Bible says that no lie is of the truth. So it's good for us to be here. So as we're going to move on today, we know this is, I believe, our third week in the Acts of the Apostles. So we're going to continue on as far as we can. We want to bring clarity to the word of the Lord. And we know that the Bible said, the most important scripture in the Bible, Nehemiah 8:8, and they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. So we know the proverbial writer says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So we got to get understanding. We can't just run off, don't know what we're talking about. So on our food for thought on today, I have in James 5:19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So we can see here, we can get ourselves in another status if we're not careful. Because like the writer said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we got to do right. We just can't come over here and do anything we want and try to cover up and hide stuff. But James is saying here, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So if you're practicing sin, you're a sinner. Doesn't matter. So we got to walk with God. Like that's what the Bible says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. So we got to do the right thing. We're going to walk with God. We can't fool ourselves. So just like the Apostle Paul says, know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you or in us, except we be reprobates? And he goes on to say, but I trust that we are no reprobate. Mm-hmm. So we got to, like Apostle Paul said, in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and I believe the 27th verse, he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means I preach the gospel to others and I myself be a castaway. So that is possible to happen. So we want to keep ourselves right. So because if we get our conscience seared with a hot iron or get a reprobate mind, we'll think we're right and we're not right. So you can't cover up stuff. You got to come clean over here. You got to do right. And God doesn't, it matters not to God what your title is. You can't just hide stuff, you know, your secret closet, do what you want, and people covering you, especially leaders. And we know the Bible, what the Bible talks about elders, and he goes on to say, them that sin, rebuke before all that others may fear. So that's why the Bible lets us know there's nothing hid that should not be revealed. So the Lord's going to bring it out. So we beat it without chastising, then we are bastards and not sons. But so we want God to chasten us, because nobody in their right mind want to miss the rapture. So we got to do right over here.
Yes, praise the Lord, Brother Walker. My food for thought today is coming from St. John, chapter number 10. It's one of my, I think it's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
Amen.
But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice."
Yes.
We believe in the baptism in Jesus' name because we know that's the scripture. That's what God is commanding. That's what Jesus is commanding the saints to do. And we do that because we know the voice of God. We know the voice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And because we know the voice of Jesus Christ, we're going to baptize people in the name of Jesus. And it says, "And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." I'm especially talking to some of my Church of God in Christ friends today for my food for thought, and saying to those individuals, we love you in Jesus' name, but there's only one way to be saved, and that is in the name of Jesus. And when we know our Father's voice, when we know the voice of Jesus Christ, we then know that the baptism in Jesus' name is the only baptism that is mentioned in the Word of God. And again, we have said it before, too many people are reading the scriptures. They're reading the Gospels, and then they skip right over the book of Acts and go into the epistles. You cannot be saved, brothers and sisters, and skip over the book of Acts. Now, you would know that if you know your Father's voice.
Yeah.
Because we're going into the book of Acts because we know the voice of our Father. And I like what Jesus says in verse number 7, then said Jesus unto them, "Again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Brothers and sisters, there's only one way into the church, and that is through Jesus Christ. And we have said it before, there's only one church that's mentioned in the Bible. There's not the Baptist church, the Church of God in Christ, the Lutheran church, and all of these other denominations. There's one church, and that is the church that was birthed on the day of Pentecost. And the doctrine that we adhere to is the doctrine that is in the book of Acts, in the Acts of the Apostles. And so we would know this, and I would encourage you to search the scriptures, because the Bible says, "Let no man deceive you by any means." So let's search the scriptures. Because in searching the scriptures, if we would ask God to really open up our minds and give us understanding, I believe that God will lead us into and give us right division of the scriptures. And if we do that, then that's how we are going to truly be saved. That's my food for thought.
Yeah.
Amen.
Minister Ryan Fountain.
Praise the Lord. Grace and peace to all. My food for thought ties right in with Brother Walker's. And My food for thought is the notion and the saying that I'd rather do what Jesus do than do what Peter says do.
Right.
And if we fail to do what Peter says do, we are indeed not doing what Jesus said do. If Peter was wrong on the day of Pentecost when he preached, every time that Peter was wrong in the Bible, he was rebuked immediately.
Yes.
Immediately he was rebuked and wrong on the day of Pentecost, somebody would have stood up and withstood him.
Yes. Good.
When Jesus, indeed, when he was on the transfiguration on the mount with Peter, Peter was in the inner circle with four, three other apostles.
Yes, good.
And they were with Jesus at all times, pretty much.
Right.
There was rarely a time where Jesus was not without them. He was without the other apostles many times. He took those three along with him. But Peter was the leader of those three. He was
right,
the spokesperson of the apostles. And he told them, he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Peter," or because "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah."
Yes.
"For upon this rock I will call you Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church."
Yes. Right.
Because Peter answered a question correctly to him and told him, "Thou art the Christ."
Yes. Right.
And that was exactly what Peter preached to him on the day of Pentecost, that Jesus was indeed the Christ.
Yes.
And Peter, when he was wrong about wanting to stop the Lord from going forward with the crucifixion,
yes,
he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Yes.
When he was wrong about separating himself from the Gentiles, Paul reproved him, correct?
Yes.
So every time Peter was wrong in something, he was reproved right away.
Yes.
But he was not reproved right away on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
They indeed went forward, and he had many words to say. And furthermore, as we go further in the book of Acts, in the 10th chapter, he preached the same exact thing and did it the same exact way as he did on the day of Pentecost,
yes,
other
yes
than the Holy Ghost fell first before the baptism. But he indeed moved along just as he did on the day of Pentecost. So that is my food for thought. If you don't do what Peter says do, then there's no way that you can do what the Lord says do.
Hey, very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes. Okay, and also we want to remind you of our guest call-in number, and that is 646-716-6566. Again, our guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. And also, if you want to email us, you can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. Again, truthministry5525@att.net. So also, there's another passage that come to mind when we were having our food for thought discussion. That is in Galatians, the first chapter and the sixth verse. Apostle Paul writing here, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel,"
yes,
"which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ."
Yes.
"But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed."
Yes.
"As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed."
Yes.
And he goes on to say, "For do I not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So we got to do it the right way. And like I said before, God left it on record, and he chose the men, and he gave it to them. In the 17th chapter of St. John, when he prayed the priestly prayer, "I don't pray for these only, but I pray for them which shall believe on me through their word."
Right.
So God knew what he was doing when he left the word on record. And so man is perverted and will pervert the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Because we call it names, you might as well call it. So too many things have branched off from the world, calling to the world the church is the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church isn't the church at all.
No,
but the church was born on the day of Pentecost.
Good.
The Catholic Church was not started until the Nicene Council. They were not organized until 325 A.D. That is 300 years after the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
And every one of the churches, every Protestant church broke off of the Catholic Church. They did not leave the Catholic doctrine. They left the Catholic practices. They They still believed in the Trinity. The Trinity came out of Catholicism. The Trinity came out of the Nicene Council. Anything that came out of the Nicene Council is not of God. It is not of Christ. It is not the church. And any other faith that came not out of the Catholic Church, whether it be Islam. Islam was started 600 years after the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
The Mormons were started in the 1800s by Joseph Smith. Same as the Jehovah's Witnesses were also started in 1800 by Charles Taz Russell. They were not started on the day of Pentecost. They were not started by the apostles, so they are not the true church. They are not. They do not have the true beliefs. Amen.
Right, and there's other churches that so-called, they are not the true church either. And that is the church of science and all
mm-hmm.
of that kind of stuff. That's not God. Because true science and God's word is in perfect harmony.
Yes.
Because the law of the Lord is perfect.
Yes.
So we thank God for his word that we have. So that's what we're given. His word is not what we think. But just like Jesus says, that search the scriptures, St. John 5:39, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And as we said before, when they preached Jesus, they preached him out of the law. They preached him out of the prophets. They preached him out of the Psalms.
Yes.
So they didn't have the New Testament like we had, because they were the ones who wrote the New Testament.
And also one other thing to add, if you do not have a doctrine, there's many that are calling themselves non-denominational,
right,
and do not hold to a doctrine. You have to hold to a doctrine, because
right,
a doctrine is a teaching.
Yes.
Right.
And if you don't hold to a teaching, then you hold on to nothing. You have nothing to hold on to, and you have no hope. And our hope is within the doctrine, within our doctrine, which is the apostles' doctrine, which is the Lord's doctrine.
Yes.
It is called both of those things. In the book of Acts, we will look at that later on, but you must hold on to a doctrine. You cannot call yourself non-denominational, because there are no denominations in God. There is one doctrine. There's not many doctrines. There's one doctrine of the Lord. Amen.
Yes. And yes.
Paul is telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:10, but thy have fully known my doctrine.
Yes, yes, yes.
Matter of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. There is doctrine.
Yeah, amen.
And see, the doctrine that Paul was giving Timothy was the apostolic doctrine.
Yeah, amen.
That's in the Acts of the Apostles.
Yeah. And let's, if you look in the book of Acts, the 13th chapter,
go ahead and get. But we do know you don't have to be afraid of the word doctrine, because doctrine means teaching.
Teaching.
And everybody got a teaching. Every kind of religion, whatever you want to call yourself, they have a teaching. So we adhere to the teachings of Christ, which he gave to those men that he chose, called apostles, who he picked himself. Yes, go ahead.
I found my scriptures.
Yes.
13 and verse number 12. And then the deputy, when he saw what he was done, believed and astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, which
yes,
Paul teaches against Elymas the sorcerer. Amen?
Yes.
So he taught the doctrine of the Lord, which was the apostles' doctrine.
Right,
yes,
which is teaching. You can't be afraid of that word teaching. So we're built upon, the Bible said, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2:20.
Yes.
So that's the problem with people are getting into the letters. You can't get into the letters that were written to the church. That's the children's bread. Salvation, the Apostle Paul wrote those Pauline epistles. He wrote to the Corinthian church. He wrote to the church at Rome. He wrote the prison epistles. He wrote to his son Timothy. All of these, he wrote to people that were already saved.
Yes.
So you can't just pick it up. You're just confessing. It don't work like that. Just believe. Ain't no just believe. Jesus said, after the gospel, in the book of Mark 16:15-16, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Right.
But he that believeth not shall be damned. And he went on to say, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents, they shall not hurt them. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. But the operative word is, he said, in my name.
Right.
And that was Jesus who was talking.
Let me add this, again, what Paul is saying to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, he says, verse number 14, but continue thy in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, right?
Yeah.
And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures,
mm-hmm.
which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine.
Yes.
Timothy understood the Old Testament.
Yes.
Salvation was in the Old Testament.
Yes.
It was just that what's happening, though, is that people do not have the Holy Ghost. And so they don't understand that when the apostles were preaching and teaching, it was from the Old Testament.
Amen. That's it. And the Acts, the second chapter, Peter preached two scriptures out of the 16th Psalm and out of the 110th Psalm.
Right. It was out of the Old Testament.
Those were out of the Old Testament.
It's out of the New Testament.
Yes. Because there was no New Testament.
It was no New Testament.
New Testament did not exist
till they wrote
in that day,
right.
Until they wrote it.
And
they did not write it until around 60 A.D. I believe the first book was the book of James, was written about 45 A.D. But other than that, after that, they were written 30 years after the day of Pentecost.
After the day of Pentecost.
So on the day of Pentecost, he didn't have New Testament scriptures to read off. He didn't have that.
And so when you look in the Old Testament, you should see Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes.
And what's happening there, men are looking into the Old Testament, and they're seeing a lot of things. I find it quite interesting because I'm finding there's a lot of people that will look into the Old Testament, and they will see prosperity, but you won't see Jesus Christ.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Somebody needs to get the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And what's happening is the people are looking into the scriptures without the Holy Ghost, and you cannot understand the scriptures without the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Man, they're trying to take Israel's blessings from
them. They're trying to take Israel's blessings from
them. Right.
Because you can't have Israel's blessings.
Yeah, because the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy is not for us.
Yeah.
And folks get mad.
And they get mad at that.
For Israel.
That's for Israel, not for us.
The blessings and the cursing.
Yes.
Right. Right. Very good.
So anyway, here in 2 Peter, he said, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, this is Peter talking, to have these things always in remembrance. But we have not followed cunning devised fables when we were made, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
Yes.
And if you all that were listening to us last week, when the gentleman called in and asked, were there apostles nowadays? This is what I've said. This is one of the signs of an apostle, is that you had to be a witness. You had to see the Lord. You had to be an eyewitness. And so Peter says, goes on here in 2 Peter 1 and 17, for we receive from God the Father honor and glory. And there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Yes.
This voice came from heaven. We heard. We were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation.
Uh-huh.
For the prophecy came not at old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
These folks are coming up nowadays with devilations. They're not revelations.
Amen. And another qualification, I was not here last week. I don't know if you guys went over this. In the book of Luke, the 24th chapter, it says, let me start at the 44th verse. He says, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me,
right.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then in the 45th verse, he says, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures.
Yes.
All the apostles understood the Old Testament scriptures.
Yeah.
Because that's the only scriptures that were there,
yes.
Mind you. So they all understood the law. They all understood the prophets. They all understood the Psalms and were able to rightly divide those scriptures to get truth and to find Jesus Christ within those scriptures. Amen.
Yes. Yes. And so therefore, how dare anyone then believe in the Trinity?
Right.
Because the Trinity was nowhere in the Old Testament scripture.
Right.
No. So I'm going to call it out. You have no right to believe in the Trinity because the Old Testament does not speak of it.
Right.
And the apostles never spoke of the Trinity.
Right. No.
And so that's doctrine that men are coming up with because they're speaking out of their own hearts, and they're speaking out of their own hearts because they don't have the mind of God. And you don't have the mind of God because you don't have the Holy Ghost.
Yes. And yet the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God. The Bible says they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And that's people don't want to believe. Oh, yeah. Like I said, that song says, beautiful story of Jesus. I tell it everywhere I go. And he goes on to say, oh, but it's not just a story. And it's not a story. It's an event that actually happened. And it's so important. And it's not, he got up just like what he said that he would on the third day, just according to the scriptures, just like he said that he would. And so here we want to pick up like in the book, and we made it known unto you that the book of Acts was written by St. Luke or Dr. Luke. So he's the same writer that wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So here we're going back over this. Like I said, we always, this is to always bring these things to your remembrance. What we're letting you know that we're not just talking off the top of our head. But like we said, he was preached out of the law, out of the Psalms, and out of the prophets. And that's what this scripture is saying. So, and he said unto them, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, as Minister Ryan said. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So we go on here, we see that they did just that.
Right.
So we were reading in the book of Acts, and I believe we kind of, we're going to try to pick up where we left off. So verse 32 of the second chapter, this Jesus as God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being on the by the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Now, that throws a death blow to all of you to say you ain't spoken no tongues or you ain't heard nothing. They heard, they saw, and heard. So Peter's going to bring it out. What they saw and what they heard. So, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. That's the same message John the Baptist said. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to stop right there. Salvation is in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
What makes the virtue in the water? It's the name of Jesus. The Bible said in Hebrews 9 and 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And he goes on to say, and without shedding of blood
there is no remission.
Remission of sin is in the name of Jesus. That's when the blood applied to your heart. Just like somebody said, down at the cross where my Savior died. And it said, thereto my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name. Oh, yes, it's in the name of Jesus where remission of sin is. When Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 19, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, repeat after me. They knew what the name of the Father was.
Yes.
Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. They knew what the name of the Son is. They knew what the name of the Holy Ghost. St. John 14 and 26, he said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father would send in my name.
My name. Amen.
So they knew what the name was.
So, and we have to understand it. We established that sins are remitted by blood, and sins are remitted by the name of Jesus. So we have to understand that the name of Jesus and the blood are joined. You can't separate the two.
Right. No.
In the fifth chapter of Acts, when Peter had to stand up before the Sanhedrin council, they asked him, why are you teaching in this name? Because if you continue to teach in this name and continue to preach in this name, you are bringing that man's blood upon us. So every time Peter taught about the blood of Christ, or taught about the name of Christ, he taught about the blood of Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
And that blood is what saves us. That blood is what covers us. That blood is what cleanses us. Amen?
Yes. And then I saw on news today, it shows you the folly of man. And so man, the Bible said, all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They're not of the Father, they are of the world. The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So people are so concerned about the History Channel having some pictures of how they said Jesus looked. I got news for you. He didn't have no blue eyes and no long hair. The Bible said when we should see him in the book of Isaiah, there should no beauty we desire. He was despised. He was the reproach of men in the 22nd Psalm. So it doesn't matter how he looked anyway. If you want to really get technical, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, said we don't know him after the flesh. We know him no more after the flesh.
Uh-huh.
Jesus himself said in St. John 6 and 63, he said it's the spirit that quickeneth or makes alive. He said the flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Some of y'all weren't worried about how Jesus looked. It doesn't matter how he looked. He's up, he's up, he rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. It doesn't matter how he looked. You want to stand before him in peace. You got to do what he says. So we're so caught up on flesh. We all, like Isaiah the prophet said, all flesh is as grass and the glory, like the flower of the field.
Yeah,
it's going to fade away.
Yes,
but
yes.
The word of our God is going to stand forever.
Yes.
So we all going back to the dust.
Amen.
Pretty as you are. And you want to know something, we all skeletons. And have you ever seen a pretty skeleton? So we're so caught up in how you look. But we got to do what God says. The foolishness that man is coming up with. So we all are going to be like him someday. If we do what he says, we'll be just like him. God is the spirit and man is the spirit. We don't know what we shall be, the Bible says. Talking to those that are saved. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be. So we're not trying to figure it all out, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him.
Amen.
But we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. You can't purify yourself if you don't have it. Because we, even after we're saved, we are washed with the water by the word. And that's he's the propitiation of our sins, John
Amen.
Says. Not for ours only. He's talking about people that are already saved, but also for the sins of the whole world. Remission of sins is for the sinner. Forgiveness of sins, of the propitiation and confession and all, is for people that are already saved.
Good. Amen. Lord.
Let me add this then. To be born of the water and the spirit, to enter in by the door, to believe and be baptized, all of those things mean the exact same thing.
Yes.
And so we better come by way of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If we are going to be saved.
Yes.
We have to come by way of Jesus Christ. And it's something we have said earlier. And again, it amazes me. I'm seeing so many individuals do things in the name of Jesus but will not be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Something is wrong with that equation.
Yes.
And everyone talks about that we don't give honor to the Father. And like Elder Cannon said, we don't worship Jesus after the flesh because the Father was in the flesh. We are worshiping after the Spirit.
Right.
And that same Spirit that was in the flesh is now glorified.
Right.
And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that glorification because we shall see him as he is because we shall be like him because we are going to put off this vile body and we're going to put on a glorious body.
Yeah.
So we are not looking to, we are looking to reach the Father. We are looking to be in front of the throne. We are looking to worship in front of that throne on that day of the rapture.
Yes.
But how do we get there?
Right.
How we have, like you said, we have to get there by Jesus Christ, because he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way.
Yes.
I am the truth.
He's the door to
the
kingdom.
I am the light.
Yes.
Yes. Amen?
Yes. Yes.
So, we, if he is the way, you have to follow after his way.
Yes.
Amen?
Very
yes.
good. Very good.
Moving back in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, he says that thou hast made me known the ways of life in 2:28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. And the ways of life, if you look in the 16th Psalm where he got that from, he says the path of life.
Yes.
And that path
yes.
will... He, what is it? What is the scripture that he will light my path? He will be a lamp unto
yes.
my feet.
Yes.
So he's the one that's showing us the way, and he is showing us the way, and he is the way that
right.
we're walking upon.
Right.
So he is all of those things, and we are looking to. He's looking to guide us. We're looking to walk on him. We're looking to get to him. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
So all those things we are looking to do through Christ.
Yes, because his word, just like we read, his word. And him are synonymous. You can't separate him from his word.
Yes.
So that with terminology is what people don't understand when they translated the Bible. But folks that understand English, you still can understand it.
Yes.
You got to believe it.
Yes.
But the Bible said the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, anybody that understands English, they know that's not talking about two or three different people. He's got titles, many different titles.
Yes, yes.
So he is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just like some scriptures that he wrote, read about the doctrine of God, you know, adoring the doctrine of God. He's our Savior. He's our God. And so, like I said, you can search it out for yourself, but after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible.
And
so the Lord has made it plain.
And Isaiah made it plain that the Lord God said that I am the Savior and there is none beside me. There
yes.
is no Savior beside me. So if there's no Savior beside him and Jesus Christ is supposedly beside him, then that means Jesus Christ can't be the Savior, because if the Lord right. God is the Savior, then how can the second person be the Savior?
yes.
Jesus Christ is that same God. Jesus Christ is that same Savior. Amen?
Yes,
Amen.
Yes. And then,
Amen.
See, like the Bible said, talking about wisdom in the 1 Corinthians, the first two chapters talking about wisdom, and said, which none of the princes of this world knew.
Yes.
For had they known it,
they would not
he goes
crucified.
On to say, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yes.
So that's the people, the Jews knew what he was saying.
Amen.
When he was saying, he said, you're making yourself the Son of God, because they understand that God is a spirit.
Amen.
And Jesus saying that he was the Son of God, he was saying that he was God himself.
Amen.
They understand that.
And when Peter spoke to them on Pentecost about, he said, David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou upon my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. There's no way. These are Jews that he's speaking to. Jews do not believe in more than one God, so you can't put more than one God in that context. You can't put more than one God in
right.
that scripture.
Yes.
He's talking about Jesus Christ, but he's talking about the role of Jesus Christ as the Son, sitting in the area of power, because when you sit on somebody's right hand, you are sitting in the area of blessings, you are sitting in the area of authority, you are
yeah.
sitting in the area of power.
Yeah.
He is sitting in the area of power. In Matthew 28:18, he says, all power is given unto me
in heaven and
in heaven and in earth.
Yeah.
So Jesus Christ is standing in authority until enemies are made a footstool. We know that all enemies will be made his footstool, be put under his feet in 1 Corinthians at the
right.
day that the final judgment happens. But that's when he will put down his sonship, but he never ceases to be the Father in all this. Amen.
Right, yeah, because the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Yes.
So he's going to reign, the Bible said, until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Yeah.
So you got to get an understanding. Like these people out there, this so-called militia group that they just arrested out near Adrian, Michigan, that was on the news, talking about they're going to fight the Antichrist. You can't, and then that's another thing. The Bible said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen.
So this is a spiritual warfare. And that's why people are doing battle. Or should I get baptized? Or should I not? Yes, you should get baptized in the name of Jesus. Just like I told you. You don't owe no allegiance to no man. If your pastor haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you don't owe him nothing. Just like Jesus said in the 15th chapter of Matthew, let them alone. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. And the ditch he was talking about wasn't no ditch on the side of the road. He's talking about hell.
Amen.
So you don't want to follow somebody else to hell. They don't know, or ain't spoken no tongues. That's not necessary. Well, the Bible says it, so you better believe God. Leave that man alone or that woman alone. They're leading you to hell. You got to follow Jesus and follow what he said and follow what his men said. So we see here that this was initially, on the day of Pentecost, there were devout men from every nation under heaven. But the message was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yes.
It was to the Israel during that time. But Apostle Peter, he had his little issues going on, too. He didn't think this was for the Gentiles. But look here in verse 39.
Yes.
Here, like even Peter said, hearken to my words when he was preaching. But God used him to preach something that he didn't really, he probably wondered about after he said it. And that is when he said, for the promise is to unto you, the Jews,
mm-hmm.
and to your children,
mm-hmm.
and to all that are far off,
right.
even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So remember Apostle Paul, when the Lord got his attention, he said he was going to send him to the children of Israel, and he's going to send him far to the Gentiles.
Right,
he was apostle to the Gentiles.
Right,
so we can see the wisdom of God.
Yeah, that was far off. That's the Gentiles.
Yes, that's the Gentiles. Yeah. See, the Bible says we were without God in the world, without God. We were far off. In the book of Ephesians, he said, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh
right.
by the blood of Christ.
The name
and the
Jesus.
Blood is in his name.
Amen.
The blood is in the name of Jesus. And you got to know that. And that's why we're letting you know. So with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation.
Amen.
I want to park right there for a minute. That's exactly what it means. You got to save yourself. Sometimes people got to run off. When God reveals, give you a revelation of what you need to do, I don't care what church you said you was in, that they said they was in Christ. If they ain't in Christ, you better leave there and come and get in Christ yourself.
And and many times the crutch to people is that they don't want to believe that their loved ones, that their grandma, their grandpa, were they not saved? Did they not go to heaven? Well, the Bible doesn't tell you that. He says save yourselves.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be worried about whether grandma and grandpa, they will have their own judgment. They will have their own time to stand before the throne. But you should be looking towards yourself. And if you deny him in your heart at this time when the gospel is preached unto you, there's no way that you can call yourself righteous standing before him in the time of judgment. Amen?
Yes. Yes. So, yes, you got to make the choice for yourself. That's why we don't believe in sprinkling. That is the dirtiest lie out of hell. That y'all know what church that is, sprinkling babies and calling it their first communion and their baptism and all that. God didn't tell us to do that. What the age of accountability is, it can vary with different children. But the point being, Jesus made it plain. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So you got to be old enough to believe the gospel for yourself. Not somebody putting water on you. That's not baptizing. That's not doing the way that he said do it at all.
The mode of baptism, it plainly says it in encyclopedias. You can look in any Bible encyclopedia. You can look in the regular encyclopedia that baptism in the Bible was immersion.
Yes.
Every single time was immersion. They did not sprinkle any water. You cannot find that within the scriptures at all. sprinkling water on somebody. You can't find somebody sprinkling flowers on you. You can't find anybody doing any of that strange stuff. It was by immersion every single time somebody was baptized.
Yes, and we can go back to John the Baptist. He was at the River of Jordan baptizing people to the baptism of repentance. But and even we see we fast forward ahead a little bit in the book of Acts, the 19th chapter, when they was asking these people, "Have you received Apostle Paul? Had they received the Holy Ghost since they believed?" They said they had not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said, "Well, under what baptism were you baptized?" They said, "Under John." He said, "John said unto him that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
And while we're fast forwarding, if you look in Acts the 8th chapter, when Philip was preaching unto the Ethiopian eunuch, and he said, "Here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" Moving down, he went on and baptized him in the 38th verse. And in the 39th verse, it says, when they were come up out of the water.
Yes.
So they went down into the water,
yes,
in order to get baptized. That's right there. That shows immersion, not sprinkling. He didn't sprinkle them on the chariot. He had to go down into the water, and they had to come back up out of the water.
Yes. You got to be baptized. You got to go in the water. Baptized means to immerse. So even Jesus himself was baptized. Then not only that, there's a good example in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, I believe it is. It's talking about baptism and saying that we were saved by water. And so people, you got to get an understanding to what the word of the Lord is saying. And it's talking about, we're being saved, back in the days of Noah, and how God's mode of baptism is. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, it says, "For Christ also have suffered suffered for sins, the just for the unjust," of 1 Peter 3:18, "that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which were sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water."
Mm-hmm.
"The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." But what he's saying here in verse 20, he said, "The like figure of the verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." So what makes the virtue in the water is in the name of Jesus. That's why Ananias said to Paul, he said, "Why tarriest thou?" He said, "Wash away with thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord."
Yes.
And we know the Lord's name is Jesus. So you got to be baptized. So there's no other way around it. Either do what he says, or you're going to be damned. Because that's what he said in Mark 16:15. He said, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." That's what he said. So we got to do what he said. So verse 41 in Acts 2. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls."
Yes.
"And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." Remember that word doctrine that we talked
Amen.
About?
Right, what, good.
And that says the apostles' doctrine. That's
yes.
what the apostles taught.
Yes. Right.
So when we call ourselves the apostolic church, that means we are following after the apostles' doctrine.
Right.
That's exactly what they were following in
right.
the second chapter of Acts.
Right.
So we are following after the apostles' doctrine, the doctrine that was set up on the day of Pentecost and carried on unto this day. So if it wasn't started on the day of Pentecost, you don't have truth. You don't have Jesus Christ or his church.
Yeah.
And we know they understood it because God opened up their understanding.
Yeah.
And we understand it because God has opened up our understanding.
Yeah.
It's the apostolic doctrine.
Yeah. Yes. And it's the apostles whom he chosen, as we read earlier in the scripture. So this is not no make-believe stuff. This is real. And the Lord himself established this. He established this and not man. So what he did, he tore down the middle water partition so that we all have access to come to him. That's why the Bible said that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but with all points was tempted like as we, yet without sin. So that's why we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we don't have to have a mediator like Job said that he needed a daysman. We don't need nobody to stand between us and God. We can go to God for ourselves.
Amen.
And that's not saying the ministry is in the local church. No man is an island. We understand that. But you can pray to God for yourself. The only thing you got to do is keep a clean heart. You can go to God. You ain't got to have that lie, pray to Mary, so Mary can pray to Jesus, so Jesus can pray to God. That's foolishness. Ain't no Trinity.
Amen.
You have access to pray to God for yourself. When you've been baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance.
Because, like you said, we no longer need a daysman because he is our daysman.
Yes.
Right.
He stood in the gap for us. In Isaiah, he said, I found no man that could stand in the gap.
Right.
I found no man that could intercede for the people.
Right.
So he could find no man, so he had to make himself a man so that he could intercede for us. And then he offered up himself as the sacrifice and offered it up to God as the high priest and accepted it as God on the throne so that we may come boldly unto him, unto the throne of grace. It's no longer a throne of judgment, but rather a throne of grace, as Hebrews, I believe, the sixth chapter tells us.
Yes, yes. So we know who Jesus is. He is our great high priest. First of all, he is the apostle of our profession.
Yes.
He's the captain of our salvation.
Yes.
He's the bishop of our souls. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. So we understand who he is. Then there's other scriptures, like he said, that he came in the volume of the book. It says, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. So we know that he was that body. In the 40th Psalm and in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the body was talking about the body of Jesus Christ, that body that was prepared.
Yes.
We know that God is a spirit, and the spirit doesn't have a body, a flesh and blood. So he had to take on that body to be the sacrifice,
Amen.
To shed his blood. That's what he said. He came, he said, to give his life a ransom for many.
Amen.
He said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, I'm the good shepherd. And that's why he was saying that no man take my life, but I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again.
Right.
So he came to give himself. So it was no accident. That's why Peter said, when he said that he had to die and he was going to be rejected of the elders and going to be crucified and raised again the third day, said, Lord, this shall not be. That's why he said, get behind me, Satan. You savors the things that be of men and not those things that be of God. This is the reason why he came, to give his life.
Right.
So the devil thought he was so smart. And then not only that, but not a bone in his body was broken. When he was, usually when they were crucified, they would break your bone. They saw that he was already dead. So the soldier just went and fulfilled the word of God. When he drove that spear up into his side, and out of his side came water and blood.
Right.
Water for our baptism and blood for the remission of sin. So he played right into the plan. So we thank God for that. So we go on here as they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. So here, right here, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart,
yes.
Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But I want to back up here. Now, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. That the love of God was in their heart compelled them to do that. That's not a doctrine. We don't have to do that. They've done that. But what we need is the love that they had that caused them to do that. When people say, do the first works over again. So we got to always have the love of God in our heart, firstly for him and for his people.
Yeah.
And just if you love God, you can't love God without loving his people. You got to love your neighbor as your, that was the first and great commandment. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So you're going to love some, you're going to love God, you're going to love your fellow man as yourself. You're not going to do him no harm because you love God and you see him. You can't say that you love your brother, you hate your brother who you see, and you love God whom you have not seen. That doesn't even make sense. So God's word is right. So this is the prescribed way to be saved, is that you got to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.
Yes.
God promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we see in verse 40, 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. So no sense in being mad. God lets you live to get to be able to be saved. Don't worry about your mother or your father or your or whoever that weren't. But God gave you a chance to be saved. You in a burning house, you can get out of there. You got to see. You getting out of there, who you getting out of there for? You.
You. And another thing to add on to that, in addition to being saved, in order to be saved, you must do all those three things, repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost, and you must also follow in the apostles' doctrine. That's all I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. So we know we don't have much time left here on today. But we just want to let you know that we're not telling you something that we made up, but we're telling you what the word of the Lord says. And you see, God has witnesses. And we'll see as we go on further, walking through the book of Acts, how God sent an angel to a man and told the man to send for a man.
Right.
That's how God works. He ain't going to tell no angel to come and tell you. That's why Apostle Paul said that to the church of Galatia, when he said, if we, our angel, preach unto you any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So God's word, God confirms his word.
And let me, that takes away the whole doctrine of Islam, because
yes.
Muhammad was preached to by an angel, correct?
Right.
He said that he received direct visions and revelations from the angel Gabriel.
Right.
So that is exactly what Paul was talking about, that you should not let an angel preach the gospel unto you.
Right.
Because that gospel has subverted many souls over the years. And it is the fastest growing religion, and it is all based on a lie, a lot of lies told by an angel who was a liar. It was not the angel Gabriel. It was an angel that he saw, but it wasn't Gabriel. That preached unto him.
Right, and it wasn't Michael the Archangel either.
No, it wasn't.
And I believe it was out of his own mind. Because angelic beings, because the angels of darkness, the Bible said, are reserved in chains until the day of judgment. So it wasn't no, that people can pick up things out of their own mind to make themselves so great. And we already have the great one, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the great one.
Yes.
So we thank you on today for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. So thank God for his word. So also, we'd like you to know that you can call in if you're listening, or you want to put this number down in your speed dial on next week. You can call in at 646-716-7166. That is 646-716-6556. You can call in.